Commissioner Stanton.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any changes or adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Zinner?
No, there are not.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Thumbs up approval on the agenda. Thank you. Unanimous. We all received a copy of the March 9th, 2003 work session and regular meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve said minutes, or are there changes?
To approve.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Thumbs up approval of the minutes on both the work session and the regular meeting. Thank you. Unanimous with one abstention.
That was?
Or two abstentions, I suppose. Because I was
Damn.
I here?
Burns and Galway Jones. No, you were not.
Thank you.
Three abstentions.
Oh, and Ms. Carroll.
Yes, so abstentions from Commissioners Burns, Galway Jones, and Carroll. Thank you. I've slept since then. Very good. Moving on to the agenda items. First up, we have a tabling request from cases 95-2023 and 96-2023. Request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Mid-Am Development for approval of a 13-lot preliminary plat and a rezoning of approximately 18.32 acres of property from the MOF district to the MC district. The subject site is located on the southeast corner of Providence Road and Veterans United Drive. This request is to table the item to the April 6, 2023 Planning Commission meeting. Is there a staff report on the tabling request?
There is. The request is being sought to be tabled in order to allow for a revision to a traffic study that was previously submitted that needed some modifications to it, as well as several outstanding staff comments. Mr. Crockett is not here this evening. I know David Butcher from Crockett Engineering is here, but probably not prepared to speak on this item. The April 6th agenda is what Mr. Crockett and I had talked about. It is possible that that date may need to be moved back to the 20th. However, I did not receive any notification that that was the desire. So the request as it stands is to April 6th. That may create compression time for the staff to be able to produce the report that's needed, but we will play that out as it relates to next week's scheduled events. We do have a meeting associated with this particular request Monday morning, and we may be able to come to some resolution at that point and allow it to stay on the 6th. If that is not the case, it is possible on the 6th you will receive a request to table it to the 20th. Typically, this would be where we would get an ask if the 6th is the right amount of time. What I can tell you is this is what the applicant wants, and we can't change it without them being present.
Where was it advertised?
Yes, it was, and that is why it has to be formally tabled. The rezoning request is basically the northern 18 acres of the property and north of the driveway that comes in at the intersection for Corporate Lake, and that was the rezoning. The remaining portion of the site, which is hatched, would retain its MOF zoning as it is today. So if there is any need for us to allow any public to speak in regards to the tabling request, that would be appropriate at this time.
Very good. Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, are there any members of the public that are here to speak on the tabling motion? We will not be addressing the merits of this case tonight. Seeing none, any commissioner comments? Commissioner McMahon?
Well, there are questions or concerns. I have a motion. In the matters of case 962023 and 952023, I move to table to date certain 6 April 2023.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Any discussion on the motion to table? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball? Oh. Absent. Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
We have 8 votes to approve. The motion carries.
That item will be tabled to date certain April 6, 2023. Moving on to subdivisions. Case number 107-2023, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of the John E. Giroux Trust for approval of a one-lot final plat to be known as Giroux Farms Plat Number 1. The subject 9.83-acre tract is located at 5600 Mexico Gravel Road and was recently annexed into the city and assigned R1 one-family dwelling zoning. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. In terms of public notice, public info postcards were sent to 18 property owners in regards to this case back on February 23rd. As you said, this one-lot final minor plat of 9.83 acres located on the south side of Mexico Gravel at Spring Creek Drive, or Spring Crest Drive, sorry. Here's an aerial. It would probably look somewhat familiar. It's been a few months, but we handled a permanent zoning case on this property back in November, I believe. But again, the south side of Mexico Gravel, marker in the upper left-hand corner of the screen is Mexico Gravel and Lake of the Woods Road, so for reference. The property is zoned R1. Again, it was officially annexed in December. The site is vacant except for some temporary storage containers. I believe there are shipping containers and or some old box trailers that are there for storage purposes. I believe the applicant intends to remove those eventually, and obviously the point of this is to eventually build a home on that lot. Basically the plat is to gain legal lot status so that they can get a full building permit, which they've already started the process for that, and I believe they've poured foundations, which they were able to get a foundation and footing permit and land disturbance permit prior to the plat. So a lot of times we allow them to do that to get started while the plat is in process, and then the final building permit is released once the plat is approved. So that's what's happened here. Sewer access is on the Mexico Gravel frontage. It traverses the entire north edge of the property there on the road. Similarly, the rest of the utilities are available in varying locations, but this will be a Boone Electric served property. Otherwise, it's city utilities. So here's a blow up of the plat. Things of note here, again, it's pretty simple, one lot plat, but Mexico Gravel is a major arterial, requires a minimum of 106 feet of right of way. And as such, there is an additional dedication of right-of-way on the frontage of the property. At 39 feet in width is what was required to get it up to the standard. Part of the reason for that, if I remember correctly, was that the road is not centered in the right-of-way, and so there will be more dedicated on this side than on the north side eventually. But if the properties across the road ever come in, I think they've been platted. Nonetheless, there's more being dedicated on the south side because the road is off center in the right of way. So that will address that issue. And as usual, we see the dash line there along that same frontage is the standard 10-foot utility easement, which is required and is provided on the plat. So with that is really all I have on this one, and our recommendation would be approval of the Giroux Farms plat number 1, subject to minor technical corrections. And those corrections are mainly just, there were some lines that were not labeled, so it was unclear what they were. That's been addressed. And then we have this issue with our software program. Certain signatures and seals, when they're done digitally, it moves them and it puts them in inconvenient locations covering other data. So I believe the hard copy I have in hand here is correct, and we're kind of working through the software issue on the backside. So that will be addressed as well. So that is all I have, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of the members of the commission have had any contact with outside parties or outside contact with parties related to this case, we'd ask you to disclose it now. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Commissioner Lowe.
Thank you for the report, Mr. Palmer. Sidewalks. Your report notes that a sidewalk will be required when the site is developed. No issues with getting?
No, they submit performance contracts for the sidewalks, which will be forwarded with the plat to council. So that's something that council agrees. It's a standard form they sign, and it is approved with the plat by city council.
Performance contract.
Yeah, it's the performance contracts that we have are specific to all public-related infrastructure that is required to be to support the property. So it would be water, sewer, public sidewalks. If we had streets that needed to be constructed, they would also be covered by the performance contract. The performance contract requires, as a condition of the CO of the property, which would be the certificate of occupancy, within 3 years, those public improvements must be installed. And that is the standard practice. So because this is an arterial roadway, it is required as a part of the building permitting process. And they do have to be shown on the, there has to be a construction plan submitted along with that in order to allow the staff to be able to analyze the sidewalk as being properly designed to meet city standards. Hence the reason for the performance contract. They're tied together. The construction plan plus the actual performance contract are what is a binding arrangement between the property owner and any subsequent heirs. Heirs are assigned. So if this property were sold to someone else, they would be subject to the same conditions.
And looking at the sidewalks to the west, closer to Wyatt Lane, Lost Tree Terrace, it looks like they've been set back to accommodate for the additional right-of-way.
That would be correct. Our standard sidewalk location is generally 1 foot off the back of the future right-of-way.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, I will now open public comment. Is there anyone here from the public to comment on this case? Please come forward, state your name and address for the record. Speak clearly into the mic if you would. We do 6 minutes for groups and 3 for individuals.
Start David Butcher, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. I'm here to represent the client. You guys approved this in December. I think this is just a matter of buttoning up any loose ends, but I thought I'd better make myself present in case you had any questions.
I'm sorry to do this to you. Would you speak into the microphone so we can get you on the minutes?
David Butcher, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You've just made our court reporter go deaf, but that's okay. Are there any questions?
Sorry.
Are there any questions for this speaker? Seeing none, thank you very much. Any other public comment?
In which case we'll close public comment. Any commissioner comment? Commissioner McMahon?
If my fellow commissioners have no questions or concerns, I have a motion. In the matter of Giroux Farms, plat number 1, case number 1072023, with minor technical corrections, I move to approve the final minor plat.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, Commissioner Carroll, may we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
We have 8 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. On to public hearings. Case number 112-2023, a request by A Civil Group on behalf of Cinnamon Hill, LLC, for a revised statement of intent for the existing Cross Creek Center plan development. The revision to the statement of intent would increase the maximum total building area within this development by 52,000 square feet to accommodate for the development of a hotel on lot 108A. May we please have a staff report?
Test, test. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, notice of this case was given earlier in the month. The request is just for a statement of intent revision to increase the maximum square footage on the site. It is for the entire Cross Creek Center PD. Here you can see the site, the whole site outlined in red with just the hotel site on lot 108A in orange. It's east of the stadium and 63 interchange. Here is the original Cross Creek Center PD that we've looked at before when we were discussing the case last time in December. Again, the hotel site outlined in red. What you see in the center of the screen is a car lot that was originally proposed, but which has now been developed with multifamily apartments instead. Other things of note are to the top right on this screen, which would be the southeast, is an undeveloped tract. It's about 15 acres, noted for future development. Getting into it, the original zoning was approved in 2008. The statement of intent was revised in 2012 for some additional uses generally. The SOI contains a limit on a maximum square footage, which is why we're here today to discuss changes to that. Getting to the point, reason for the request, there are actually private covenants which limit the individual allocation for the square footage onto each lot. The statement of intent that's approved by the city doesn't have that. It's just within the private covenants. In addition, the city does not enforce or is not party to those private covenants. In December, a revised PD plan for a hotel on lot 108 was approved by the commission, and that was to be forwarded to council, but at the request of the applicant, this has been pulled for the time being to resolve the matter with the covenants and square footage. And when we do, after we resolve that, we'll send the PD on to council. So while this development of the hotel itself would not exceed the max square footage, it would near the max, which was noted in December in the report. It would leave about 11,000 square feet remaining. The private covenants specifically allow the lot allocation for each lot to be increased by having council approve an overall increase to the maximum square footage. So that's why they're asking for this today. So they only need 42,000 specifically for the proposed hotel. But when the applicant was reviewing the private covenants, they noticed that lot 105 was built out already 10,000 feet over, so it would be viewed to be conflicting with the covenants. They're asking just to add those together into this one request to resolve both matters. So in total, they're asking for 52,000. The maximum square footage was put in place generally for concerns with impervious surface. Reading through it, was mostly about this proposed car lot and what concerns there would be with impervious surface and stormwater back then. So in 2008, stormwater ordinance was still very fresh and being discussed. So this was kind of this one thing that was used as a condition to, you know, be cautious about the stormwater and such. There is existing minimum open space requirement for each lot and a larger requirement for aggregate of the whole site as well. And get that in combination with our stormwater ordinance now, approval of this increase would not negatively impact stormwater. If approved, there are some remaining undeveloped lots as well. Per city permitting, they would be able to draw from the remaining 63,000 square feet for the site. Approval of this would allow the PD plan for the hotel to be approved by council. This hotel will be able to issue a permit. It would negate any concerns for remaining square footage, given that without this, they're very close. And it would also ensure the private covenants are not being violated. With that, we are recommending approval of the requested statement of intent revision to increase the square footage, or the maximum gross floor area, by 52,000 square feet. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. And I would say, sorry, one other thing I noticed that I passed out, a comment we got today, someone's general concern was I think it's really targeting at the hotel before, so really under case 280, but they just wanted to take note of what hotel may be there. Just I think they looked at it online and had some concerns about the hotel. That's just the comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any, or I'm sorry, before we go to questions for staff, if any commissioners have had any outside contact with parties on this case, please disclose it now. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Going once, going twice, okay. I will open the floor to public comment. Please come forward, name and address, all the good stuff.
Good evening, my name is Jay Gephardt. I'm a civil engineer of Civil Group, and I'm here tonight representing Genesis Development, which is the developer who I brought the hotel plan through. As you may remember from that meeting, there was a discussion that the current hotel there filed a lawsuit, and through that discovery process, we did discover that there could be an issue with the private covenants. And what would happen is when the city said we could have 580,000 square feet, they we had developed fictitious plans for each of these lots. And the only way to allocate that 580,000 was based on that plan. So this lot was allocated, it originally showed as a restaurant, it was 8,000 square feet. So that's why we're asking for 42,000 square feet, because the hotel is a 2,000 square foot building. And although the city only looks at the total 580,000, which we are under, what that covenant did was keep one person from using square footage that was allocated to someone else. So we couldn't get to the end of this project and have a lot that didn't have any square footage left. So that's all we're really trying to do is get the hotel so that it can and be built and be in compliance with the private covenant. And the only way to do that was to go to the city council and ask them to increase the ceiling total amount. And Brad hit on the stormwater part of this. You know, this has been my project since the very beginning. It's we have, because of the three-story, four-story hotels, three-story apartments, two-story office building, there's about 9% less impervious area than what was originally planned on this site. So the intent of the limiting the area was to limit the amount of impervious area. Well, it is developed in such a way that we've gone vertical and not spread out. And don't have as much impervious area that was originally intended. So I think that intent has been met with that. But if you guys have any other questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Robert Hollis is also here if you have questions about the private cover.
Are there any questions for this speaker? Commissioner Lowe.
Hi, Mr. Gephardt. Building height, since you're going up instead of out, what's the height of the proposed building?
Well, the plan that was already approved by planning and zoning, I think the maximum height is 45 feet, and I think the building's 44 or something like that. It's a flat top roof, so to make that four stories work, but yeah.
If you don't mind me interjecting here, the max height is 96 feet per the statement of intent, but I think what Jay's saying about the proposed height for the hotel is correct, though.
Thank you, Brad.
So for my clarification, on this lot, the maximum height is also 96 feet?
Yes.
Okay. I do remember we went over that. I just don't see a height on the plan, so it's verifying. Thank you.
Any other questions for the speaker? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Gephardt.
Thank you.
Any other member of the public to speak on this case? Please come forward.
Robert Hollis, attorney with the Van Madry Law Firm, here on behalf of the property owner, 1103 East Broadway. I don't have anything to present, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for the speaker? Commissioner McMahon.
Hello, Mr. Hollis.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. Has everyone done suing each other on this thing?
So the lawsuit has basically moved nowhere. I think when we last spoke, they had filed the petition. They asked for an amended actually they asked for a restraining order, which they didn't get, and
right.
then they asked to amend the petition, which they amended, and then we answered, and now they've done nothing.
There it sits. All right. I had to ask that question.
I assumed that was coming specifically from you.
But I'm glad we discovered things that needed to be corrected when we did discovery, right? I don't currently have any more questions for you. Thank you, sir.
Any other questions for this speaker? Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you.
Any other member of the public to speak on this case? Going once, going twice. Okay. In that case, I will close the public comment period. Are there any commissioner comments on the case? Commissioner Lowe?
Identifying a gross floor area does not, to my mind, establish coverage. Because it does leave open the door for building up. I think what's establishing the open area is the minimum maintained open space, which has been set at 15% per lot and 28% aggregate. And that's not being requested to change. I don't like getting in the middle of a private and completely separate private covenant, and I think I would recommend that we not have clauses that require city council approval in the future, if possible, changes to private covenants. Thank you.
Commissioner McMahon?
I would second Chairperson Lowe's concern. We tell folks all the time that we have nothing to do with private covenants, and then all over the presentation of this, it's all about private covenants. And I appreciate the concern. I appreciate everyone has a right to change their mind to what they want to do on a piece of property. But that's not our concern. It's not our concern to help someone out of a lawsuit or not. That said, I do have a follow-up question for staff, if I might, Madam Chair.
Please.
I don't recall off the top of my head, Planner Kelly, the stormwater preparations for this. Did you have it in front of you? Can you give me a little bit of info?
I don't have any specifics other than what Jay mentioned earlier. He was correct, talking about they will be 9% less for impervious than what they expected. Spoke with stormwater staff. They had no issue with it at all. Again, with the stormwater ordinance we have now, and with, again, as Lowe mentioned as well, the open space controls those together, alleviate any concerns they have.
Yeah, I wouldn't think there would be, but I felt obligated to ask that as this has become fluid over time, and I won't want it to be too fluid. Thank you very much, Planner Kelly. Madam Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anyone else? Commissioner Placer?
One thing I'm puzzled over is that despite these plans to not have a giant half-empty car lot, we still have only reduced the impervious surface by 9%. Just doesn't seem like that great of a reduction, considering the change in plans.
Thank you. Commissioner Lowe.
I can comment on that. The building footprint is larger. So the parking area may have gotten smaller, but the building footprint has gotten larger.
We've added more buildings. Anyone else? Commissioner Burns?
If there's no other comment, I'll be happy to make a motion.
I do have one very quickly, and then I'll let you. I was just trying to go last and be polite. I have a real problem with the way this whole thing was done, and I'm just going to put it on the record because I know there are things in the works that will look very similar to this, where you've got fictitious buildings, fictitious plans, and or PD zoning with no plan. And this is why that's a bad idea. Because back in 2008 and in 2012, everyone thought it was a great plan to limit this tract to 580,000 square feet for all these different lots. And now all of a sudden that's no longer a great plan. Well, that's because it was never built out. And I just want to say that the private covenants aside, which it is disturbing to me that we are looking at a way to get around some private covenant problems coming through our body. But regardless of that, my issue is this is a problem we see again and again because PD zoning was so common back in the day. And it is why you hear my resistance every time a new PD comes before us, because it just sets us up for more problems in the future. But with that, I'm done. Sorry, Commissioner Carroll, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. If I may, yeah, I see all the same problems you see. It's concerning to me going forward because we do have cases with PD plans coming for us. I think for this case, the way to resolve that situation is to build the plan. And if this is what allows the plan to build, then I think that that's probably the best path forward. I do plan to approve this, regardless of how sticky I feel that it is.
If there's no one else, I'll go back to Commissioner Burns. Oh, Commissioner McMahon, sorry. Only if you speak into the microphone.
I may have a second short bite, just a comment. Commissioner Lowe and Commissioner Burns and Commissioner Stanton will remember this. We fought a battle against speculative zoning and speculative planning, and we lost that battle. Just tossing that back out there.
Thank you. Commissioner Burns.
Thank you. In the matter of case 1112-2023, Cross Creek Center, PD Statement of Intent Revision, I recommend to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Burns, seconded by Commissioner McMahon. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
No.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
We have 7 yes and 1 no. The motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. No other cases coming before the body. We will move on to public comments. Are there any members of the public that are here tonight to make general comments to us? Seeing none. Staff comments, the ever popular agenda item.
Yes, well, I can't let a meeting end without making them. Your next meeting will be April 6th, and I did not mean to take us out of the PowerPoint. And that will be a full meeting. So we will come back to our regular work session, and regular work session at 5:30 p.m., to which we will be continuing our discussion as it relates to the proposed RC zoning district. Our residential cottage standards. I'll be able to get a little bit of time to start working on that, as well as then having our regular meeting at 7 p.m. And we appear as though we may have as many as 3 items tabled at that agenda, but nonetheless, I'm going to show you all of the items that are currently proposed. These are all of the items that are supposed to be on this agenda. However, I have been reading some correspondence that was sent out late this afternoon in regards to this preliminary plat. It may not make the cut. We only have about a week in which to prepare staff reports, and we have some significant outstanding staff comments and a revision to a sinkhole study that was done. This is the property that is at the corner of Sinclair and Louisville, or not Sinclair, Smith and Louisville Road, that has a whole series of sinkholes on it that we had seen last year. They're looking at massaging the geotech report to address some issues that we identified. So that may not be ready to go. The one I could tell you we will have on is the one we have advertised for a public hearing, and that is 25-33. This is a lot down at Corporate Lake. It is currently zoned PD, seeking to be brought out of that nebulous world of plan to straight MC zoning. This does happen to be on the east side of the lake. So it is actually in an area that would be more conducive to an MC classification, whereas everything around the lake and to the west is more of an MC or RMF zoning designation. And if you will remember, about a year ago, if I'm not incorrect, we did some very comprehensive rezonings of parcels around the lake to straighten out some of the zoning. This particular parcel was not part of that collective action. However, it is now sought to be brought into a more straight zone to allow for the property to be more easily developed. And given the lack of additional development down at the Corporate Lake area, this move may be an appropriate decision. And then the last two are the two that we tabled here at the beginning of tonight's meeting. Again, I am not quite sure if we will be able to make progress to get those staff reports for the 6th meeting, given the short window of time that we have to address outstanding comments. And this will come as a package when it does get brought to the commission as a public hearing for the rezoning with the associated subdivision plat. These are the location maps associated with it. Our property here at Louisville and Smith, then our property at Corporate Lake, and then our two parcels down at the corner of South Providence and Veterans United, just to the west of the current Veterans United campus, the former State Farm property. As it relates to questions and comments that were made during our discussion of case 112, I will echo many of the comments and the concerns of the commission. This is one reason why staff is not generally supportive of planned districts. This particular case that we've discussed this evening was unique in how its restrictive covenants were structured, which you are correct in your assessment. We don't look at restrictive covenants. And had the pending action of litigation related to the PD plan not been brought, the staff would have followed its standard practices of reviewing that development plan for the 580,000 square feet that it included within it. As the December staff report indicated, it was going to leave remaining undeveloped parcels with very limited amounts of acreage. That statement in and of itself is an acknowledgement that we knew that the action was going to have an impact. Due to the litigation, as Mr. Hollis pointed out, and as Mr. Gephardt pointed out, however, they had identified within that restrictive covenant, which was then brought to our attention, this legitimate process that they could go through. We normally would never have considered it from that aspect. They wanted to take the appropriate step that they were afforded through their covenants to revise the plan. They could have come in as easily when we were doing the plan review, had they known that that was going to become an issue, and ask for a concurrent increase in the square footage. And we would have handled it like we handle any other amendment to a statement of intent. So the way that it's portrayed in the staff report for this evening's report is a correct portrayal. It was driven by the applicant bringing to us and our attention that restrictive covenant. We would normally not go digging. However, it is what it is, as I often say. We do not have many plan districts that have caps in them. And therefore, that's the other unique little element associated with this. And if you look at the history of plan development prior to the stormwater ordinance, it's probably a more common tool that was utilized because the stormwater ordinance didn't exist. Now that we have the stormwater ordinance, we really don't have to be as concerned about coverage because the stormwater ordinance deals with that as well as the rest of our code requirements. And hence the reason why if you're going to do a plan district moving forward, we're asking that we are doing bulk and density-related provisions within that statement of intent, not fictitious building footprints that may change over time, in order to define what the limitations are for that site, but allowing the rest of our codes to apply in each individual instance. So for any plan district that's used for mitigating maybe neighboring property owner or other possible political issues, plan districts, I think, will continue to exist, but the way that we want to structure them is to not be so confining as it relates to a site plan illustration, but more confining based upon what the actual capacity issues are that relate to the property. And that's all driven by roads and other infrastructure that may be available. We believe that the code and our allied codes, the stormwater ordinance, tree preservation, and all of those other factors, provide adequate levels of protection that don't necessarily need to be maybe augmented, generally speaking, by additional restrictions such as what we see here at Cross Creek or other developments with the maximum square footage being limited. It's a much cleaner way for us to review projects, and it's probably a much cleaner way for the commission as well to deal with amendments, because then we're not dealing with this type of stuff. I wanted to make that statement for you all this evening, understanding your concern, and we appreciate your support to try to eliminate the preponderance of use of plan districts moving forward. I think we're all in the same position. We'd prefer to not have them.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Any commissioner comments for the night? Commissioner Burns?
I wondered if we had changed our voting order. I feel like I've had the pleasure of going first multiple times in the last few meetings.
Sorry about that.
Not that I mind.
I missed the last meeting, so I don't know who goes first. I always mark who goes first. But I can't flip to the last meeting and see who went first last time.
Make sure everybody's getting their chance.
You probably went twice in a row. I apologize.
Thank you.
Any other? Commissioner McMahon?
Just a note on what Mr. Zinner said. We don't have it too often, but when we do have it, I think the Burnham property up north, buried in private things. And this is why I said then, and I will continue to say, if there's a lawsuit, tell them I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it because they're not ready for prime time. I'm done.
Thank you, Commissioner McMahon. Anyone else? Commissioner Lowe?
Move to adjourn.
There's been a motion to adjourn and a second. Moved by Commissioner Lowe, seconded by Commissioner McMahon. Seeing no objection, we are adjourned.
Somebody had to go first.